Blog Talk Radio.
No. Oh, shoot. Man. Oh, shit. No pun intended. are we here? Are we here? Are we live? We're here. It's the Friday, Open Forum Friday, the Andy and Amanda Show, live from the United Kingdom and the USA. Join the conversation anytime during the next hour at 515-605-9888. We'd love to take your calls after we spend some time diving into the news and expressing whatever else happens to be on our mind at any given second or moment of this show. How is everybody doing? It's Friday. We have a weekend ahead of us.
It's Friday.
I can't believe it. I can't believe another week has gone by. Man, are they flying fast, huh?
Yes, we are.
I know. It has gone really quick. But yeah, doing good, darling. Thank you. Much appreciated for that. What about you?
I'm glad to hear it. Yeah, I really am. So, Amanda, we're going to continue some discussions that we've had on the show this week and on Wednesday regarding the origin of the coronavirus and other news. What's going on in your neck of the world there? Fill us in. We'll start, dive right into this show. And folks, here's Amanda Love in the UK.
Thank you for that introduction. Beautiful. So, so a little bit on COVID, and then I'm going to cover some other news, but I've got more to talk about with the whole COVID situation further into the show. So, so far as of Thursday, we have vaccinated 11 million people and are aiming for the 15th of February to have vaccinated 15 million. And with all things going to plan, everyone age 50 and over will be offered a vaccine by May. There are concerns about government giving out dates as to when lockdown can be lifted, as we still have high rates on our hands, and it has been suggested that the government focus on such things before giving out timeframes. And I know everybody's eager to get out of this lockdown, like the pressure's on. Literally, the R number has dropped to between 0.7 and 1, which is great. That's the reproduction rate for anyone who's listening. Let's hope that rate keeps dropping, because that will be absolutely amazing. Now, going back to the battle with Europe, the EU withdrew their threat with restricting vaccines to Ireland with Article 16, and Boris Johnson and Emmanuel Macron have been discussing a way they can work together to help combat the virus. So again, that's more great news that Europe have, taken back that threat that they had over Ireland, which seemed very petty at the time. So going on to other news, there's some trouble amongst climate protesters right now in Eastern London.
Really?
Yes. Here's a rundown. So high speed, referred to as HS2, is a planned high speed railway system in the United Kingdom. So with its first phase under construction and future stages awaiting approval. So HS2 will be the second major high-speed rail line in Britain. The first high-speed one, which connects London to the Channel Tunnel, and was opened in the mid-2000s. So they'll be linking London, Birmingham, Manchester and Leeds. Now, they believe it will help the climate issues by transporting freight, etc., in a more climate-friendly, efficient way, and reduce rail passenger overcrowding and help to reboost the UK's economy. So that's their plan. Yeah. And there are many unhappy people regarding the situation right now, protesting in Euston, arguing various facts on how it's destroying our landscape, cutting into ancient forests and using more steel, which has an impact on the environment. So the protesters, and this is very, I'm impressed by this, the protesters secretly dug a 100-foot tunnel since 26th of January and are currently standing down in the tunnel, and have been there for the past 9 days. There's been secure act made to these tunnels that protesters made so that those people can be removed. Now, one father who supports his two children protesting the situation has said how he fears for their lives right now and that he may never see them again, as it's a dangerous situation, because what they've done is they've dug down near gas and water pipes so they could possibly drown or suffocate. And protesters have been denied the right to check their oxygen levels whilst they're in the tunnels. And a judge has refused an application from one of the protesters to stop bailiffs from removing them. So HS2 say they will be planting new trees and are aiming to plant 7 million during. So we're going to see what happens with that. But, you know, I've always been a bit funny with organizations and companies ripping into our landscape because it's forever disappearing. We're all new housing. And, you know, the countryside is vastly disappearing, and it's so, so sad. The other little bit of news that I wanted to cover was the actor from Sound of Music. You guys have heard about Christopher Plummer.
Yes.
Dying at age 91. Yeah.
He recently died?
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I think today. Passed away peacefully in his home, and if I say, what a legend, right? I mean,
I realize he
did many great movies, but the Sound of Music has a massive spot in my heart. Like, I grew up with that
music,
and it still makes me feel all warm and fuzzy. And,
oh, yeah, I mean,
you know,
Sound of Music was like Oliver. Obviously, it preceded Oliver, but one of his classic musicals, of course, which pretty much gave him, you know, a cinema narrative of the Von Trapp family's exploits and escape from where did they escape from? Not Hawaii. They escaped from somewhere there. Where was it from? I forgot.
Austria, or did they come from Austria?
Yes, Austria. I was going to say from Germany, but from Austria.
Yeah,
that's
the word. Yeah. But yeah, bless him. Yeah.
And well, it was a great movie. The hills are alive. With this, now from the rest of the show, Amanda and I are going to sing all the hits from The Sound of Music and tribute to.
Oh my gosh!
How do you stop a bottom like Maria? Thank you. Anyway,
I'm still short now, don't you know?
Thing is, you could probably do a credible job of it. That's, you know. Hey.
Oh, no.
it's a couple of things going on here. The COVID numbers here. I'm going to go directly to the CDC, Center for Disease Control, and get their numbers this time, which say the total cases in America are 26,523,297. That's total coronavirus cases, COVID-19, SARS virus cases, or SARS-CoV-2. Total deaths in this country is 454,209. You know, we were a little hopeful that things were going to tame down because of the increased restrictions that were placed upon us the past couple of months. We saw a little bit of a taming, I think, the last weekend and Tuesday it went down. But it's things are back up again, not showing any real. In the United States, in the last 24 hours, we had 3,572 people die from coronavirus.
Oh, wow.
Actually, up to the minute, well, up to the last hour, is 470,705 deaths in the United States and 111,264 deaths in the UK. You know, it's funny. I've said this so many times that when you read these numbers, I kind of feel like I'm reading the stock market. Well, today.
I know, right?
We're talking people dying. I mean, you know, these are real. Just incredible. But we're, you know, it happened. It happened. We're dealing with it. We're going to get through it. It will be behind us eventually. It's going to leave, you know, quite a destructive path. I mean, we are at war with this thing. And that's, you know, who was it? To quote Donald Trump, it is what it is. It is what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to say it, but it is what it is. You know, we started talking about on Wednesday, we dove in a little deeper. I think it was Wednesday or Monday. I don't remember. I think it was Wednesday. We started diving in to the question. Did COVID-19 come from a lab? Was it deliberate? Was it bioterrorism, a biodefense? And then we're diving into clues, you know, various speculation about the behavior patterns of this particular protein versus other viruses. And isn't it kind of odd that this thing's breaking so many rules? You know, it's, Mother Nature is a very efficient bioterrorist unto its own, in that we've seen, you know, time and time again, new diseases have emerged, like Ebola, you know, SARS hemipapilloviruses. During the current pandemic, it's been alleged that people created this new pathogen in Wuhan. I guess I pronounced it Wuhan. Yes,
Wuhan.
Lab. Wuhan. And even that, it's been released as a deliberate act of bioterrorism, according to some. And we've raised that question, too, because of the characteristics and behavior of this particular virus. So how could we determine definitively if COVID-19 was a naturally occurring or a bioengineered outbreak? The simple answer is it's very complicated, folks. That's the answer. And I've really gone into this. It's very complicated. And we covered potential ways a virus could escape a laboratory. Getting on somebody's clothes,
yeah,
and going to the markets, right?
Yeah.
But we should also talk about the outbreak characteristics, the medical sloths that might piece together to find clues or red flags that that an outbreak was started intentionally. Can that be definitively determined? And that's what we're trying to dive into and discuss on the show. And we invite your calls again at 515-605-9888 with your opinion. It doesn't, you know, we know it's opinion. It doesn't mean it's fact. Put it out there. We want you to share it with us. Don't be shy.
Absolutely.
And what are some of the red flags of a suspicious outbreak? You know, what are some red flags? Well, some are the previously treatments that were considered to be effective no longer work. If we had a treatment that worked well in the past, but that suddenly is no longer effective, then it could be a clue that the organism has been manipulated into some respect or biologically stretched. This isn't a, you know, dispositive. You know, organisms can develop resistance naturally to antibiotics and antivirals, which they do. You know, they say, for example, doxycycline given for various gum ailments and so forth. If you take 5 milligrams a day, it'll prevent gum disease and so forth. You know, just take it every day for the rest of your life. And then they're concerned, well, if someday when you really need an antibiotic, it's not going to work because your body has developed an immunity because of the low dose of doxycycline. That's just a illustration of a low dose use of doxycycline that I put out there. But there's other low dose uses as well. So we also need to take into account whether this is a common for that particular pathogen. Is what are the clues? Because it's brand new and we don't yet have a magic bullet treatment for it, or is there a previously known coronavirus? I'm thinking every time I see Corona, I think of the song Corina, or the Cornelius virus, as I used to say, the Cornelius virus.
Oh, I'm thinking about the beer.
And then I call the vaccine the Modelo, which is also a beer. Shows what my mind is.
Yeah.
But also, we can also look at the outbreak occurring in a very unusual location. Pathogens tend to live in certain parts of the world, right? That's a fact. For example, Ebola occurs mostly in sub-Saharan, like in Africa areas, you know. If a disease shows up where it normally doesn't live, that could mean that it has been released there intentionally because no diseases or viruses normally occur there. But suddenly, whoa. But we know that the first SARS outbreak started in China when, we've talked about it in this show many, many a time, homework, what's it, you know, test question, folks. How many years have scientists and pharmaceutical companies been working on a vaccine for the SARS virus? How many years? Anybody know?
Test question.
Thank you. 17 years, 2003. 17, 18 years, right in there.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we've talked about that. And that's, you know, there's no way we could develop a vaccine in a year, less than a year, if the platform for that vaccine didn't exist already. Just would not have happened. Absolutely would not have happened.
True.
But so the outbreak of the SARS, of the protein that we've kept talking about on the show time and time again, the numerous other coronaviruses existed in bats. Literally in bats. So the COVID-19 outbreak starting in China reduces suspicion here because there have been other outbreaks in China as far back as 2003 when this thing was first. Uh-oh, let's work on this. What the hell is this? Where'd this come from? Then we also can look at and examine whether there's a pathway or what you might want to call, let's say, a vector, you know, for disease transmission. You know, certain diseases such as malaria, yellow fever require an insect. And that's what they – or like a mosquito, let's say mosquito, right, to transmit infection. If a disease like yellow fever, let's say – let's take yellow fever, for example, and it shows up in a place that doesn't have the right kind of mosquitoes to transmit it, then that would also be a cause for concern. How did, you know, here we have this virus. There's been other viruses transmitted by mosquitoes, or you know, mosquitoes have been used as a vector for that virus.
Yes.
Suddenly there's this thing. And we've been here, you know, a whole lot of years. I mean, many, many, many years, thousands of years, hundreds of years, whatever it might, you know, however you want to look back in terms of the medical community. And so we've never seen this thing before. And suddenly this is here. How's that possible? So that would, you know, that would kind of ring a bell some way. Where, how is it possible that this thing is here? But the clue doesn't really help us with COVID-19. Why? Because it spreads by respiratory droplets, not insect vectors. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Insects
yeah.
do not spread this disease. Human yeah. breathing spreads this disease once a human becomes infected with it. And how did the human become infected with it? Possibly eating something from the meat market. I don't know. From raw, you know, people eat bats there. I mean, you know, or touching or a bat, you know.
Yeah.
The
it
other
brings
thing
a whole new meaning to batshit crazy, right?
Yeah, yeah. We can also talk about disease spreading in a, let's say, oh, do you ever see a jet flying overhead, for example? A jet flies overhead and you see the contrail, and then
yes.
the contrail begins to move downwind.
Yes.
Well, let's just say that that contrail was, you were able to see these droplets. You're able to actually see the COVID virus, the SARS virus. And let's say that contrail left by the jet is actually human droplets, you know, a downwind pattern. In a bio warfare or bioterrorism, the disease often considered the greatest threats are those caused by agents that could be sprayed across large populations, right, in a battlefield. And ideally,
right.
you want to spray that deadly virus or bioterrorism, you know, whatever it might be, downwind
yes.
with the wind, right? So it affects
yeah.
it. You don't want to blow it upwind, it goes right back into your face, right? You go downwind.
Yes.
So outbreaks that appear to have started in one spot and spread in a downwind pattern are also, you know, we can consider them suspicious as well. For contagious diseases, like let's say, I don't know, what's a contagious disease? Smallpox.
Yeah, that's what
yeah.
I was about to say too.
There we go.
Yeah,
smallpox, right? That first.
I had
okay.
those.
Yeah, so there we go. So you know, you can if your kid, another kid in your class has smallpox, whoa, all sorts of warning flags, letters to your parents, teachers, you know, all this stuff, you know, because you know, John Doe has smallpox and it's very contagious, blah blah blah, right? So
yes.
So for contagious diseases, and we'll look at smallpox, it is much more challenging to determine exactly where and how they began because they spread from one person to the next person, right? Like the Ever Ready battery, or the gift that keeps on giving, or the, you know, just keeps on going, right? That's, we talked about this last week. How can this virus go into one person, kill them, or create damage, and say, okay, I'm finished here. Let me jump into the next person, do the same thing there. That would be that unusual warning that we talked about last show. Well, just like a forest fire, once the kindling has been lit, our human interactions propagate the virus if they go unchecked. So this clue isn't much help either, looking into COVID-19. Let's keep going down the list. The disease presents – there's many unusual symptoms. Many of the high-threat bioterrorism diseases such as what was that one? It's small doses.
How about tonsillitis?
No, that's not a bioterrorism I'm going to give the enemy massive doses of tonsillitis. That'll get them. I'll have all those guys walking
around with their throats. Andy?
That'll get them. hey, soldier, pick up your gun. I can't. I got my throat's killing me. What do you have? Tonsillitis, man, I swear. So, welcome to the Andy and Amanda program. Anyway, such as... I got to look at right here because I, what is it called? It was on the tip of my tongue. Anthrax.
Okay, yes.
And the plague most commonly affects skin and lymph nodes, right? Anthrax, you get on your skin, it burns and kills you, it dissolves you, however it works. If we see victims instead with the more, let's say, rare and deadly lung infections caused by those pathogens, it could be a red flag that someone has sprayed tonsillitis into the air. Right, but here again, the clue would not be necessarily, you know, valid one, or it wouldn't raise our suspicions too much, because COVID-19, the coronaviruses, and I say that plural because there are many of them, many, many, many of them, are already known to cause deadly respiratory infections. That's already known. So finding a new coronavirus that causes respiratory disease is not necessarily unexpected, because indeed, coronavirus outbreaks have been a concern for public health since the SARS emerged in 2003. And that's when they started working on the platform that the current vaccines are predicated upon, right? So we can also say, well, animals. Okay, because it comes from animals. There's no previous presence of the disease in animals. Certain pathogens, you know, such like what? I don't know. But you know, there's many pathogens that prefer to infect animals more than humans, so we know that, right? And I could, an illustration might be even, you know, we all had pet rodents or pet hamsters or pet gerbils, and humans handle them and so forth. And the next thing you know, the kid comes down and sees his pet hamster dying. The kid's not dying, the pet hamster's dying. So what, you know, I'll talk about this one day, but I accidentally had 33 hamsters and I didn't touch them, and they all live normal 2-year hamster lifespans, or most of them anyway. And I didn't touch them. You know, my kids' friends' hamsters were dying. My hamsters did not die. We never handled them. Like, one,
I remember you telling that story.
You remember that story? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
33 hamsters. So,
incredible.
Unbelievable.
So usually
only on the Andy and Amanda show.
33 hamsters.
Where your host had 33 hamsters.
33. And I didn't
forget
one. I didn't want one hamster. I ended up with 33 of them. But anyway, and my daughter thought she was getting a male. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, she ended up getting a pregnant female. You know, go figure. But anyway,
been there.
So when the infection crosses from animals to humans, we call it spillover event, when it crosses from animals to people. And seeing human infections before animal infections with you know, that are vectored, or you can call it a zoonosis, could be a clue that someone has intentionally started an outbreak, right? How did it go to humans before it went to animals? And it does all these things that contradict the normal viral behavior, you know. So, and we didn't see it. You know, animals that we know of didn't die from this thing, but humans are dying from it. So, but when something spills from animals over to humans, it's called a spillover event. So all those similar coronaviruses are present in bats. This particular coronavirus, which is the we call it, what everybody knows is SARS. Everybody's heard of SARS or COVID, right? Mm-hmm. Has not yet been recovered from bats. Therefore, the jury is still out on this clue. And one reason to study coronaviruses in China in order to compare this particular SARS-CoV-2 with other coronaviruses circulating in bats or other animals for that matter, is to understand how it might have spilled over to humans. There's evidence of deliberate genetic manipulation. Viral geneticists can track how viruses evolve over time, and they do. They migrate. We've seen this now with the current coronavirus, the Brazil, the UK virus, the South African virus. There's evidence of sophisticated bioengineering to create a brand new pathogen or alter a known pathogen that could indicate human manipulation. And this is where the COVID-19 story gets a little dicey, folks, because scientists have weighed in on both sides of the debate, whether the SARS-CoV-2 virus is natural or a man-made. We don't know. The latest accusation that the virus is engineered from people came, if you remember this originally, I'm going back April last year. It came from a Norwegian team of scientists, which was very quickly attacked by other virologists who argued that the viral genetic material is similar to other viruses found in nature. And so we can go back to 2003. Still adding fuel to debate is that revelation that scientists from the Wuhan lab published articles that describe manipulating coronaviruses, which they called in English, translated from Chinese, a gain of function experiments, thereby producing all of the ingredients for conspiracy theories and suspicious of, you know, of intent, you know. So, which side of the debate is correct? You know, it's morphed beyond science into politics, unfortunately, very unfortunately, you know, conspiracy theories. And I mean, it's a shame. that, you know, it just became a political debate and didn't stay in the world of science. And when the facts came out, the facts were presented as scientific facts, not conspiracy and theories. And, you know, people who wanted to believe something believed it and therefore promoted it. And therefore, they had the agreement and therefore it became their fact. It doesn't mean if it was fact or not, it became their fact. And that's how the world occurs to them. And it did. And it does. And it's, you know, that conspiracy world, that world of, you know, believing something because you want to believe it and somebody told you it and millions of people were told it and they all believe it means it's true when it might not be true. And we dove into that a while back on this show recently too, as I recall, that whole psychological process. So
yeah,
the conversation becomes very complicated, doesn't it? The accusations of biowarfare are common when new or unusual diseases strike populations. Whoa, where did this thing come from? Must have been invented by man. Whoa, never seen this before.
Of course.
Do you remember the West Nile virus that hit New York City in 90? Was that Clinton? Was that 1999? Yeah. Right? There were concerns initially about that being bioterrorism, and that was discounted.
Remember that?
So I looked up, and I don't want to go into a whole dissertation about the West Nile virus. This show, maybe no show, 1999, if anybody can look that up if they want to. I'm just kind of summarizing what I've looked into and what, not concluding. That's the case it might be.
That motherfucking Andy is the shit, man. He's a rock star.
So I just want to lay this out there, you know. So really, the scientific community over the years, and this past year especially, has attempted to develop objective methods to determine whether an outbreak was deliberately spread by bioterrorism. Scientists have developed a scoring system, and we developed one on this show, however primitive. And it's like, you know, if we looked at the anthrax and compare anthrax to the West Nile virus and like give them each pluses and minuses, like the coming out, what is common and how anthrax came about and how did the West Nile virus come about. And I'm not a scientist, so I'm sure there's much more sophisticated ways of doing that scoring system, but mine's a little more complicated than that, but believe me, not much more complicated that I could either put together with a couple of vodkas in me anyway. So the bottom line is just that the challenge of predicting how many will die from COVID-19 scoring systems or predictabilities, you know, can we make predictive assumptions in a scoring system for bioterrorism versus a virus which is airborne and spreads from one person to another, any scoring system would be incredibly imperfect. How are you gonna say, well, this meets all the, this is predicated upon all of the behaviors of a bioterroristic threat. This is predicated upon how normal viruses occur. And it's a tough one, folks. You know, it's a tough one. You know, there lies the rub, so to speak. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the bar is very high to prove an attack can be hidden under the cover of a natural outbreak. All the multiple red flags among the clues that we just discussed here could point towards a potential bioterroristic event because of the dissimilarities of how a COVID or a SARS virus would normally behave and how a viral infection would normally be transmitted. We can go over and there's some other things we can discuss too and compare and contrast, but it doesn't, we can do this all day. And at the end of it, what I've concluded is we can prove nothing. And there's other common red flags that I didn't mention here, but the, your smoking gun for a bio warfare event is to find something like a spray device contaminated with a pathogen or something akin to anthrax,
right?
Which were undeniably put into a mail, you know, and distributed somehow by a human being with the intent to kill or harm another human being. In this case, it's the SARS-CoV-2 virus. The only way to get closer to understanding its mysteries is to send, and this has been discussed and we've been denied the opportunity, is to send an unbiased international team into China to conduct a formal investigation, determine whether the earliest humans infected in the outbreak, and compare specimens in the Wuhan lab with human specimens and analyze similar viruses. But we've been denied that. The international science community has been denied that. So where are we here? I don't know. I just went on to a whole big thing, and we're no better off than when I began.
I think people can end up driving themselves crazy going over it, because I think everybody's desperate to try and understand and work out what's happening to us all.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everybody's got all their theories, from everything from religion to, you know, warfare, and everybody just wants answers to make themselves feel better. Yeah. Sorry?
People bullying people, all types
of stuff. Yeah, so much going on, and I think everybody's feeling it, right? I know I've got to the stage where, you know, this lockdown is literally just becoming depressing now. And, you know, the government are not giving any indication as to when it's going to be lifted. And they're saying it could go on for a while. And, you know, I speak to family members and friends, and they're all, you know, expressing how it's straining on them. So, you know, the fact that it does all this to your mentality, and then people so dig into things like we've just discussed, Andy, and in some sort of hope that they can find their own light without having to rely on the government for answers all the time. And you see just a lot of people just going around in circles, and they're getting even more frustrated and angry. And we're living in a really crazy time, and you can just feel it everywhere. And I was speaking to my sister about this today, actually. She was saying that people won't even make eye contact with you on the street, because it's almost like just by giving you that eye contact, they feel like they're going to catch something. And that's tragic, absolutely tragic. And people are just shutting down. We're on this lockdown, but people are locking down themselves as well. And it's very concerning, right? Very concerning.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know what I've also looked into in you know, how far back can we not look at the protein that the Cornelius virus stems from? But the actual COVID-19, when did it first make an appearance, as far as we know, on the planet Earth? And knowing that is, you ready for this? December 8th, 2019 is the earliest date that China has acknowledged an infection, versus new evidence that indicates the virus was present months earlier than China admits. In September 19, they're saying the blood samples were taken in lung cancer screening trials in Italy, which later tested positive for the coronavirus as we know it today.
Wow.
So, okay.
And that's a fact. So the COVID-19 is an equal opportunity employer. It doesn't discriminate.
Right.
It doesn't discriminate.
Of course not.
No matter what your political affiliation is, no matter what your skin color is, no matter what your religious beliefs are, no matter where you live, it don't care.
No.
And unfortunately, it's become a political football, and it should have remained a medical humanitarian issue. That's where it stemmed. That's where it should live. That's where we're living now. And we should all be, you know, how do we prevent it from killing people? There are ways we can do that. We know that. That's not a secret. That's you know, we wear an N95 mask or similar. We stay inside. If we eliminate the ability for this thing to go from one person to another, then we kill the virus. Goodbye. As Trump used to say, it will magically disappear.
Isn't it ironic that something that has no ism at all, that is willing to touch everybody's lives, is the most hated thing on this planet right now?
Yeah. Yeah.
And yet it's reflective in humanity that we're trying to reach that unity, and yet that something that isn't biased and has no ism is affecting everyone on such a tragic level that it's hated. It's a kind of like a weird, weird mirror. See how my mind is working tonight, right? See how my mind is working.
No,
I haven't
been smoking dope, I promise. We promised Wednesday in our show Wednesday that we were going to, you know, dive into this today, and that's what we're going to do, and that's what we're doing. And but you're right. The virus has turned the world upside down in the past year. The United States alone has claimed, you know, what was it, 470,000 lives or something right around there, and brought our economy to a screeching halt. You know, it's killed jobs and kept children out of school for a year. And although it can't be proven, it's almost certainly responsible for Joe Biden's victory, you know, because, think about it. If you know, before COVID, the economy, and there may have been some false indicators of the economy, actually, and who was really benefiting by this, but basically, in a general sense, the economy was doing pretty damn well. It really was. Unemployment was down. Unemployment with minority groups was down. The stock market was good. People were making money. Home sales were up. Everything was looking great. There was no way in hell Trump was going to lose this election. And on comes COVID.
Yeah.
And boom, the rest is history. So now whether he, you know, we're not going to go into now, well, you know, let's analyze, you know, who's benefiting this economy. Was the economy really great? Was, you know, we can go into that and talk about it, debate it. Arguably, you know, the facts forever, which we're not going to do. You know, Biden's president, what happened happened, and let's move on. So, but when you think about it, think about what, you know, other than the incredible, horrific destruction of 400 and some thousand lives and their families and their friends, along with those lives, what this did to our political structure in the United States when COVID did not exist, because Trump surely would have been elected. There's no Democrat that exists that would have beat him. It just did not exist. Yeah. He didn't even have to campaign. He could have stayed in the White House the whole campaign, and he would have won. So it's, it could have been, you know, it could have been a general, you know, like the 2016 election. It could have been a popular victory for whoever the Democratic candidate was, like it was for Hillary Clinton by over 3 million votes. But in the Electoral College, Trump would have surely won the 2020. And some people think that he did, but you can't overturn 7 million votes. I'm sorry. I don't care if you overturn 1,000, 2,000, 5,000, 10,000, 20,000, 100,000, 1 million, 2 million, 3 million, 4 million. He still didn't. He still. You can't. Biden won. And it was predicted he would way before the election. Every single credible poll, except the ones that were created by the not Republicans, because Republican polls and Republican media also showed the same result, that Biden was predicted to win this thing. But Trump's own people, his own staff, and gave him information that he wanted to believe and see. And then he'd go to his spreader events and say, hey, the polls, don't believe any of the polls. My poll says I'm winning. I'm going to win this thing. And if I don't, I might have to leave the country. Oh, anyway, I don't want to go there again. We're talking about coronavirus. I'm not going to rehash what we've had for 7 months on this show. I'm done. Super Bowl.
Yes.
Let's talk sports.
Yes.
Super Bowl weekend. A moment that many people at the start of the season did not think was ever going to happen. When the season kicked off with an opening of training camp in late July, we were in the middle of COVID-19, spikes all over the country. You know, every sport event closed down. Nobody can go. But football is the very definition of a contact sport. You want to know how COVID can go from one person to the next? You go play football, bam, and look at all these teams that are being, you know, players, games have to be suspended because of the contact between players. But anyway, Super Bowl, Kansas City Chiefs, Andy Reid, former Philadelphia Eagles head coach for 14 years. Again, second time in the Super Bowl, is playing Tom Brady. And I don't say the Tampa Bay Buccaneers because, in fact, the Kansas City Chiefs as a team will be playing Tom Brady by himself with Gronk, two of them.
Wow.
Tampa Bay is one of the worst teams in football. They get Tom Brady and Gronkowski, and suddenly they're in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And the Patriots suck.
Man.
I'll take your word for it, Andy.
Tom Brady is a great quarterback. Tom Brady is a great quarterback.
Oh my God, yes. We have a guy who's been on hold, and I'm so sorry. I'm not even going to screen. I'm just going to go right on the air and see. See, hello, if he's still there. Hello, you there? Hello?
Sound like he's in the studio.
Yeah. Hello? We can listen. Maybe he's playing music for us.
Huh.
la, la, la.
Certainly sounds interesting.
It does. Uh-oh.
I actually feel like maybe, I'm at a funeral parlor.
Yeah, so do I. Maybe like it's music to accompany our COVID analysis.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to put him back on hold. I'm sorry, caller. Back on hold you go. I'm sorry. Maybe we'll dive into you again in a couple minutes. All right.
Well, I hope it wasn't the Grim Reaper.
Yeah, really. So, predictions. Again, our number's 515-605-9888. Super Bowl. Cornell, who are you thinking?
I'm going for wherever Tom Brady going. I'm with Tom Brady.
Tampa Bay.
You know it.
Tampa Bay.
With you, Andy.
I am a huge Andy Reid fan because of his affiliation with the Philadelphia Eagles. I bleed. Well, you know, as I spend more years here, and I've been to California for quite some time, no, not a long time, several years, but as the longer time I spend here, the more I find myself being just emotionally detached from the Philadelphia sports teams, of which I was very attached to as a Philadelphian. I mean, I bled Eagle Green year round. We go walk around when the Eagles played at Veterans Stadium. We didn't have tickets to the game, but we would go walk around the stadium for luck before the game, then go to a bar and watch it.
Oh my God!
Wow,
Amanda, yeah. Philadelphia
yes,
have the best fans.
Oh
the
really?
Eagles fans. Oh my God!
Yeah. Wow.
They will. If you say something bad about the Eagles, they will kick your ass.
Hell yeah.
I remember that.
Perfectly
future,
so.
Future reference.
You
I've made
you don't say
that.
Nothing about my Eagles in a negative sense. You understand what I'm saying?
That's right. That's right.
My Eagles.
I would love
but,
to experience the whole culture of that, though. I got to admit, you know, someone who admires it from afar.
Oh, I would go to bed every night listening to WIP, Philadelphia Sports Radio, 610 a.m.
Yeah.
or 94 FM, WIP,
yeah.
home of the Philadelphia Eagles and the Sixers.
That's right.
And the Flyers, WIP. And I know those guys. I've called in. Our friend Lloyd Booker is an avid caller. And when he called the show, they had Lloyd on for a while. And he'd give a summation of the sports and all this kind of thing. It's kind of funny to hear Lloyd on WIP. And but anyway, I used to go to bed during football season. I'm going to say
really?
One thing. I'm going to say with who.
You don't anymore, right?
Yeah. No, I don't.
Really? Hey, I think
that.
Andy got tonsillitis, y'all.
You only wish. I bet the audience out there wishes. Who that? Tell that guy to shut up. listen though. I'll tell you though. I used to go to bed listening to WIP and hear all the Eagles talk. You know, and they'll put me to sleep at night, probably for all the right reasons.
Fair enough.
Let's see if we can get our caller back on here. Oh, he hung up.
Oh.
They hung up. It's all right.
Oh,
sorry.
Okay.
We gave him a shot. We gave him a shot to get on. We did.
Well, thank you for your music, whoever you were. We really appreciate the ambience that you brought to the show for that brief time.
Yeah, maybe they just wanted to play background music, you know? Maybe yes.
Yeah, possible.
You know. Whoa. I just dropped my phone. That's okay. Do you like that? Whoa!
Whoa.
Do you like
yeah,
that?
Sound like a great single.
Oh gosh, you know.
This is the second, the third.
Third show of the week. It's the Friday show here on the Andy Amanda program, 515-605-9888. I am Andy Kimball in California. Amanda Love is in the UK. Cornell Butler is in Delaware. Why? We don't know. He happens to be hanging there. We'll accept it. Yes. Cornell, you're not from Delaware, are you?
No, actually, I'm from Philadelphia.
There we go.
Yeah.
There we
I'm
go.
A Philadelphian.
Yeah.
Born and
yeah.
raised. Yeah.
Philly
wow.
boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And was the playground where you spent most of your days, Cornell?
The library.
Library. He's smart.
My parents won't let me
guy.
Go out. They say read books. I read a lot of books.
You know, I admire that. I admire that.
Do you know, Cornell? When did you go move to Delaware? How long you've been a Delawarean, or however you say it?
I would say going on 4 years.
Okay.
4 years.
Wow.
But all my
wow.
life. Well, actually, when I came from, I lived in Philadelphia, but I also lived in Cheltenham.
Mm.
Yeah.
Sorry, for a moment there, I thought you said Cheltenham. Yeah. I was like, what?
It's Cheltenham, UK.
Yep.
Cheltenham was near. I was right off Cheltenham Avenue. Cornell. I was paper on the road.
Elbow Park.
Yep.
Yep.
Well, I live right near there.
Yeah, I know where that's near the, was it, 66th Avenue or something like that?
That's Broad Street. If you keep going out on Cheltenham, it dead ends at Paper Mill Road, and I live right near there.
Yeah.
Right, 309 Paper Mill Road.
309,
I lived there for 14 years. Yeah.
Wow.
Yep, we were neighbors and didn't even know it.
We didn't even know it. So basically that area is, oh my gosh, I forgot, Wincote.
Wincote, that was right near me.
Yep. I used to live in Wincote Towers, too.
Oh, I know Wincote Towers, of course.
I used to live there. Yep.
I'll be darned. You know, they were great buildings. That was very nice there. That's a really nice area. Really nice.
Yeah.
Lucky you. Yeah, really.
No, actually, it still is nice, but I think it was called something else before that, before Wincote.
It was. It was Cedar. It was Cedarbrook.
Cedarbrook apartment.
Yes, Cedarbrook apartment. Yep. See,
luxury apartment.
That's right. There are several. Wow. I know exactly where they are. Right off of, right near Arcadia University. Right.
Arcadia
right near there,
University.
On,
that's right.
Yes.
Yep.
Damn.
That's pretty cool, considering you guys have never met as well.
Yeah,
no, we've never met.
Right,
and we're from the same. I'm not from there, but I lived there 14 years. Where I'm from, I'm still wondering. Some people say not from the. Can we talk? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm getting at here? Yeah. No respect.
Andy,
my whole
I'm right on that level. You know, I understand. I question myself the same thing all the time.
Man, do you know?
Man, that's amazing.
Yeah. So we had the Super Bowl this weekend. I want Andy Reid to win again, second time in a row, and develop a Kansas City dynasty. That's who I'm looking at. They got one hell of a team, Kansas City. They really, really do. And I just remember that the Eagles beat Tom Brady, 3 years ago, 4 years ago now in the Super Bowl.
Remember that throw?
Oh, my God, yes.
I knew that guy was going to catch it. I swear. It was only 3 seconds
hell yeah.
left. I was like, he's going to catch
it. And it really is, Cornell. It really is the Chiefs versus Tom Brady. That's the game.
That's what it is.
There's no way in hell Tampa gets to the Super Bowl if Gronk and Tom Brady were not there. It doesn't happen. That's one of the worst teams in football.
Yes.
It's
Amanda,
unbelievable.
YouTube Tom Brady football. Oh, my gosh. This guy is unstoppable.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm on it right now.
Let me tell you this: it could be like 3 minutes to the 3 minutes, and they win it by 20. Tom Brady know how to win the game still. Another team could be winning.
Okay.
Am I lying, Andy?
Yep. You're not lying. No.
Yes, you will get your money's worth. I tell you that when Tom Brady is playing.
I'm actually playing it right now. Some highlights.
Oh,
yeah, it's unbelievable.
Amazing, huh? I'd like to hear Amanda do the play-by-play of the Super Bowl.
Yeah, right?
4 to 20, at the 10, at the 5.
Darling.
Yes. I'd be like, darling, sweetheart, what did you get, darling?
Oh, my goodness.
The game is pretty cool. I mean...
You just gave me a great idea.
Four carriers of the plague who will infect their miserable brethren.
Yes, and therefore Kansas City will win.
Oh, my God. Just gave me a great idea. We'll talk.
Uh-oh, another one. Uh-oh.
I'm nervous now.
Uh-oh, yes.
I have been expecting you.
Mm-hmm. I know you have. Can you dig it, baby?
Can you dig it?
But not that type of voice from that guy.
I apologize for not being here to greet you personally.
I'll let you off.
But at least we're on, you know, Amanda and I are 8,000 miles away.
Yeah.
From each other.
Well, thereabouts.
You have to catch a plane to see each other.
And travel in that plane for 12 hours.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. Wow. 12 hours.
Or catch a blimp. Unless you catch a blimp.
A blimp.
Remember those Andy blimps?
Yes. You know what, guys? I got to tell you something. I drove the Goodyear blimp. I flew it.
Really?
No joke. Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Way back when, I was a flight instructor at an airport right outside of Philadelphia, North Philadelphia Airport. I was a flight instructor. And the Goodyear blimp anchored itself there for some kind of event, or I forget what it was. And I got to meet the flight crew, the pilots who fly the Goodyear blimp. And I'm hanging around operations. I was a flight instructor. I was a pilot. And I got to know the guys. And they said, Andy, you want to come with us? We're going up. You want to fly it? And I'm like, hell yeah.
That's so cool.
As soon as we got into the air, they let me – there's one main pilot seat on the left-hand side. And here's what – I'll try to create an illustration if you can imagine this, right, what I'm going to describe. So you have a big wheel that you can turn – not a steering wheel, but a wheel to the right side of your leg that you can spin forward or reverse, right? It's a big wheel.
Okay.
So you spin it back and the blimp points up. You spin it forward and the blimp points down. Then you've got two throttles in the ceiling that drive two Continental 225 horsepower engines. God, Andy, you're good. And in order, and they're reciprocating gas engines, right? That'll drive the Goodyear blimp about 35 miles an hour. Okay. And
wow.
To go down, you have to advance the throttles forward and throw that wheel forward. You have to actually drive the thing down, or else it keeps going up. You also have these pull strings. Imagine to your right. These handles that you can pull and let some helium out of the blimp to get you down. You can pull like a hot air balloon, right? And also, your feet are on two big rudder pedals. And if you're turning into the wind, like you got to put left rudder in a lot just to turn this thing. It takes, you're pressing this and it's big helium balloon slowly, and you drive it around. You can even give it some right throttle to help spin that. Get that right engine advanced, the left engine's not doing anything to help turn it around. But I drove it all around Philadelphia, man. I drove the blimp everywhere.
That is so cool.
I went down. And so when I see the blimp overhead, I know exactly what's going on up there. It's so cool. So cool.
Wow.
It sounds
a little complicated, but.
Yes. It's actually
easier to fly than an airplane.
When I was a kid, the first blimp that I seen was, the Zeppelin or something like that? Was it the Zeppelin?
They called them that originally,
Wow. I would love to go on a hot air balloon.
I'm scared.
Yeah, I'm not going to deny. I've crapped myself, but I would still want to try it, I think.
I would do it in a heartbeat, but and there's people, and I see them at some folk festivals. I go to see people hot air ballooning over the folk festivals and stuff like that. But I would... There have been very, very few, but they stick out in my mind, accidents where hot air balloons descending into electrical lines and this kind of thing, and things catch fire and all this. And I'd be like, I don't know. They're very safe. I don't want to dispel. They're very, very safe. And the accident
rate is take me to get on it, Andy,
millions.
And that's when it's going to happen.
this team here, we should all try to get into one, and maybe we'll take off and find ourselves maybe visiting Oz or something like that. I mean, who knows?
Like our show. Just like our show.
Was it?
We're blowing up.
I mean, that's so cool. I mean, they're a big thing here. You always see them here. And
I see
them locally taking off and flying over. So I just, every time I see one, I'm like, one day I'd love to have a go. Yeah.
So I wonder if they are safe. I wonder.
Don't ask me. Ask China that question.
Definitely ask China. They'll take us
China.
To get on there, right? And a big bird to just sit on it, on top of it, and start biting into it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, listen, know what else we got to talk about that's really important that we didn't touch upon yet? This is important. I can't believe I didn't mention that. The show's about to wrap, and we even talked about this. We talked about it extensively on Wednesday's show and totally forgot it. The Congresswoman, Marjorie Taylor Greene, has been expelled from all her committee assignments. Not expelled from Congress, but she's been fired from every committee assignment for all the things that she talked about. She's been stripped of all committee assignments. And for those of you who don't Excuse me, one second, folks. I just say goodbye to somebody here who's leaving our gracious Coast to Coast studios.
Oh, okay.
Yes, and they no longer
goodbye
want to work.
Too.
They quit. They came in, they took one look at me, and you're leaving. No. I tried to get an intern. They came in. What, you don't want to work here? What?
No.
What's going on over there? What? But you want to come? You want you to say hello to our audience? You want to come over and say hello before you quit?
Come say
you're
hello.
Hey, come and say hello.
Get over here. Okay, everybody's saying you got to come here and say hi.
Yes.
Come on. Come on.
Don't be shy.
Come on.
Come on,
say
darling.
Say hello and goodbye.
Yes, come
oh, well.
On, darling.
Oh, well. Oh, she throws everybody kisses. She came
Aww,
in.
Aww,
thank you.
Thank you.
I was going to do these news
special.
Summations. Goodbye. It was great having you work for me for the 2 minutes that you did. Yeah, goodbye.
She was like, 2 minutes is enough. She overextended the time.
So now I got to do this by myself. I got to go find this news thing by myself. Wait a minute.
Okay.
How am I going to do this? Now I'm solo. Okay, what do I do now? I'm not good at this. Let's see.
Oh, yes,
this
you
is,
are.
A man spent 7 days stranded after his GPS directed him to an up unplowed mountain pass. Good thing for Waz. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, my God. What was I saying before? Do you remember what was I saying?
Talking about the Congress lady.
Oh, thank you. See, I told you I was talking on my own.
Well, Cornell. He's on form.
Yeah. Cornell, do you want to come intern for me?
Why not? I'll last at least 3.5 minutes. Get it?
I'm hiring for those of you who want to work for Coast to Coast and be part of this team. We need interns
to do
things like dive into the news, cut out articles, talk about agendas, what we should be discussing on today's show. It's a fun time and gives you experience in the world of broadcast. For those of you who might want to be interested in California, don't be shy, andyandamandashow@gmail.com, because every intern we've brought in has quit, not after working for the show for a while, but they quit within a matter of minutes of our studios. Yeah. Yeah.
Because they looked at what Andy was drinking. They was like,
oh, no, I know what it is. I got it. I found it. I know what it is. I know what it is. I've got to stop wearing this mankini.
That's what it is.
You know, that was going to be my next remark, but I thought I better hold back on that one.
Well, Andy, I thought about becoming your intern, but now I quit for being your coordinator.
Oh, God.
What the hell?
What the hell? Hey, how's it hanging in the front, dude?
It must be the mankini. I should get rid of this thing.
Hey,
all right.
Hold it. I see two eyeballs right there. What the hell? They look like, you know those fishes? You know, with the big eyes?
Oh, my God.
Some Popeye fishes?
Oh.
Maybe that's a question you should ask China.
I've never seen no eyes with hair on them.
Oh, my God. So,
I got you.
You guys are nuts. No pun intended.
Right.
We're coming up on just a few minutes left of the show, actually less, about a minute and a half. But what I want to do real quick, if it's okay with you guys, is just extend just a little bit. Anybody listening to the show now, we know you're listening live, you'll be cut off in about a minute and a half here. But those listening on the podcast, which we know our majority of our listeners are, will have the pleasure of listening to us just for a few minutes more, because I think we should dive into Marjorie Taylor Greene and her, you know, being removed from committee assignments just a little bit. Okay, we did. That's enough. All right, now we can go.
Okay, Amanda, you can end the show.
Amanda, take us home. Love you guys.
From,
here's Amanda.
Andy Kimball in Hollywood, and from Cornell Butler in Delaware, and from myself, Amanda Love, in the UK. Thank you for being here with us again for another show, and we look forward to having you back with us for some more news, laughter, and crazy times. But keep smiling, stay safe, and try and do the right thing, okay? We love you. Thank you so much.
And Amanda, real Bye-bye. Quick, might we not be doing an early show on Monday?
Yes.
Stay tuned, Great folks. Sure. Tune into Blog Talk Radio. You'll get info on that. All the best.
You know
Great
it.
Weekend, everybody.
Bye-bye.